It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Now, here's our teacher, Ruth Christian.
Good afternoon, ladies. Today, as we continue on in our study of the first chapter of 1 John, we need to first think about what we saw in the first two verses yesterday. In those verses, notice something. In verse 2, John is declaring, and he's going to say this several times in the first chapter, he declares to them and to us that this real life that we can have is eternal life. And it was manifested. It was revealed openly. Eternal life is in Jesus Christ, is Jesus Christ, is knowing Jesus Christ. This life is revealed and it is experienced by every true Christian. Not just to those who saw him physically, but to all who have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ spiritually. That's what John and those people back then, they had to have this spiritual thing happen in them as well, not just the physical. By trusting Christ, they and we experience and receive life that's real, eternal life. Christ is manifested to us through the written logos now and the witness of the Holy Spirit. And we'll be talking about that in chapter 5. But there's one more important thing about this eternal life that we're going to see today. So let's read verse 3. Verse 3 says, "That which we have seen and heard," he says again, "we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." John finally names this being here. So now we know who this word of life is. It's God the Son, whose name is Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah. And just as John wanted to declare it to all his readers in the first century, once we've experienced eternal life, we should want to share that eternal life with other people. Why? Well, for several reasons. And the first one is what he says here, that we and they may have fellowship. The idea of fellowship is one of the most important ideas in this letter. The Greek word is koinonia, which speaks of a sharing, a communion, a common bond, and a common life. Fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This simple and bold statement means that one can have an intimate, personal relationship with God. We have many kinds of relationships in our lives, but fellowship is a special kind of relationship that believers have with God and other believers. It speaks of a living, breathing, loving, sharing of a common life with God and other believers. Okay, I can't emphasize that enough. There has always been an eternal relationship of love and fellowship between the Father and the Son. Jesus refers to this in John 17, verse 24, when he says, "You loved me before the foundation of the world." But now we can share this life with them. This is amazing. I mean, it really is incredible. It should cause us all to stand back and go, wow. When we have fellowship with Jesus, we will become more like him because we enter into a relationship of a shared life with Jesus. We share our life with him. He shares his life with us. When Jesus was praying in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, he prays for those who would believe in Jesus through the sharing of this life with others. Chapter 17, verse 20 through 22 in the Gospel of John, he says this, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, and they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you've loved me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love which was with you, with which you loved me, I'm sorry, may be in them and I in them. Here we see in every way he could say it, fellowship, the sharing. John is enjoying a delightful fellowship with this God. And he desperately desires that his spiritual children have the same fellowship. And then he says this. It says, you know, when we have fellowship, we can know this. And he writes these things about fellowship that you may have joy. He says, I write these things to you that your joy may be full. The result of fellowship is fullness of joy. This joy is an abiding sense of optimism and cheerfulness that's based on God. This joy is not something that we manufacture for ourselves. Joy is a wonderful byproduct of our fellowship with God. David knew this joy, which John mentions. He said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16, verse 11. Tells us also in that verse that God's pleasures last eternally. They're forevermore. This life that's real produces a joy that's real. Not some limp substitute, but it's the fruit of fellowship with our God. People hate loneliness, don't we? I mean, nobody wants to be lonely. We want to be wanted and needed. Well, life that is real, when we have this life that is real, that we receive when we're born again, helps to solve the basic problem of loneliness. For Christians have genuine fellowship, sharing of a common life with God and with one another. Jesus promised, "Lo, I am with you always." He's always with us. And fellowship with each other. The fellowship is Christ's answer to loneliness. And joy is his answer to the emptiness, to the hollowness of life. It's amazing. We can actually share life with God and with each other. And the life we share with each other is God, is Jesus. John here clearly echoes an idea Jesus brought before his disciples the night before his crucifixion. He wanted fullness of joy for them. He repeats that several times in those precious chapters, chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, right before he's arrested in the garden. And but he wants them to know that they can have this fullness of joy, even knowing that the cross was directly in front of them. And him. He says these things, chapter 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And you see, it is in us and remains in us when we receive that life. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name, he says. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. That's John 16, 24. And then in John 17, 13, he says, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. This is when he was praying to the Father, and he's saying this. He's speaking it here, but this is his heart for them, his heart for us, that the joy that's in him would be in us, be fulfilled in us. So that your joy may be full. When John says this, he's talking about that same joy that he heard his precious Lord and Savior speak to them about. Fullness of joy is certainly possible for the Christian, but it's by no means certain. John wrote with a desire that believers would have fullness of joy, but it's not an automatic. Why? Well, because we must maintain fellowship with God and with others to experience it. Are you experiencing the fullness of joy in your life? If not, then maybe you should ask yourself, is my fellowship with God broken? If fellowship is broken, we cannot share this common life of Jesus. And remember, fruit of that life is love, joy, peace, and so on. There's a roadblock in our relationship when the joy is not there, when the fellowship is broken. We'll begin to talk about this or more tomorrow. In the meantime, stay close to Jesus and keep looking up.